Bobrovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. And greetings to you all. Glad that that you're here with me this evening. I've got a question for you. Now, do you work in an office, employer, place of business where salaries are disclosed to everybody? Though different businesses do it different ways. I mean, this is a number of companies obviously keep this type of information very confidential. But some other businesses I know they do advertise. They do publish what everybody makes. They put it up on a board. They in some way distribute it. I saw this article yesterday. The BBC, now, you know, they're a publicly held company by the government. They're a government entity. And of course, maybe one of the most powerful media outlets in Europe. And the BBC was compelled by the government of Great Britain to release its top income earners to list who made what, right? And so they've got a lot of stars up on this list, and the discrepancies are enormous, right? You got this one guy at the top who's making over $2.5 million a year, and then you got some people at the lower end of it making, you know, $200,000-$300,000, and in some cases you have a host and a co-host of the same program that are making radically different amounts. And the conclusion that virtually every article is putting out there about this is, aha, gender pay gap. There you are. I want to talk about this because there's so much more to this than just gender pay gap. The gender pay gap, by the way, is a giant lie. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing the demagoguery on this point. And I'll get into that. I'll explain what I mean. But, you know, when you're looking at, you know, if you really want to wreak havoc in an organization that keeps pay confidential, and most companies, I believe, do. Because if you are, yeah, because if you're a manager, if you are successful at putting together a great group of people and getting the best out of them, they're inherently different people do different things. It has nothing to do with gender. And their values to the organization are different. That's a fact. You can't take one level of middle managers and pay them all the same. Because you'll have one department somewhere that is more valuable to the company than the one over here. And if you start to just oversimplify and go, well, that guy over there is a dude, and that lady over there, well, you know, she's not. And you try to attribute the pay differences strictly based on their chromosomal makeup, you got a problem. You're oversimplifying the reason for why perhaps there's a different value assigned. But the bigger, you know, the bigger issue with the whole pay deal here. Can you imagine? I said it would wreak havoc. See, take for example, the BBC or any media outlet, and what they pay their top performers. Now, I know you know I am no great fan. Of course, I think the BBC. You know, this is a terrible left-wing group, right? There, I mean, it used to be a great organization that had truly phenomenal programming, and And it's sort of devolved into this giant charity project, which is why the government is targeting it. They want to shed some light on taxpayer expenditures. Every person in Great Britain is forced to pay a BBC tax. It amounts to about $200 a year, give or take. And so there, you know, the government goes, we want to see what we're getting for our money. And it would be one thing, I think, if you're talking about the, you know, the managers and everybody else, but you've got talent in there, and this talent is open to being poached. So now everybody out there knows what all these top stars are making. And the hullabaloo is, well, you got this one guy over here, and he's making this millions of dollars, and you've got this gal over here who's only making 200, 300K a year. What gives? And when you start to strip it away, and you look at what the facts are, it's kind of like, you know, take an entity here, take a media company here that you know. The primetime guy makes more money. Why? And I don't mean to say guy, I should be very careful. The primetime person makes more money. Why? Because the primetime person is attracting eyeballs that are coming, if it's TV, ears, if it's radio. Calling all ears out there, but you're getting bodies, you're getting numbers, you're getting listeners. That's ratings, and that translates into dollars spent. I would actually argue that in media, value is actually the easiest place to ascertain, because you can take a person who is hosting a 5 o'clock talk show on a news show on Fox, and you can determine roughly to the person how many people are watching that show, and then you can, down to the practically the dollar, figure out how much revenue that brings to the company, and then you can ascertain, therefore, this person, this host that we have hired, brings in X amount of dollars to the business. The person we had in that role before did better or did worse. And for whatever reason, they know that, look, we're going to pay this person a crap ton of money, but it will produce a significant return for the business. Now, a big difference, of course, BBC being a public company, being a government-owned business, there has to be greater transparency. I get that. But you see where the equal pay thing, because that's exactly where this whole thing went. Oh, look at this. The men, the women, they're all making difference. It's terrible. You know, it's just this horribly discriminatory world that we live in. And this is predictable outcry. And I'm looking at it, I go, I know these liberals like the back of my hand. So I know where this is headed. The direction where we're going is, we are going to, and to some extent we already have this, we are going to enshrine in law mandates that people be paid certain amounts relative to other positions in the company, and that the company will therefore eventually not have the ability to pay this manager over here, this level one manager, a different amount than the level one manager over in that other department, irrespective of what those positions bring in terms of value to the business. Nowhere, by the way, nowhere is that clear in media, but it's also in sports. I know nothing about sports. I'm just going to say that right now. You've heard me say this. I am sports illiterate. But I don't know if you know this about me. I am a trained violinist. Have I mentioned this before? I've played the violin since I was five. And I studied with a really phenomenal violinist from the LA Philharmonic. And I was okay. I was better than most, not as good as some, and then had a little hand injury and it sort of fell apart. There went my career as a concert violinist. But I remember with my teacher, I remember we were one time talking after a lesson. And, you know, the violin, you've got to hit every note perfectly. I mean, you can't, you know, if, as a matter of fact, if you squeeze your finger a little harder on the string, it changes the tone. It changes the pitch. That it has to be so precise. The muscle memory required to play the violin is incredible. It really is. So people who do it well are, you could say, the top of the top. And he would say to me, you know, I remember this like it was yesterday. He goes, I went to a basketball game. He was a Russian guy. He's saying, I went, no, he didn't collude with Trump. I know that for a fact. No, nothing like that. There's a Russian guy. He probably went to a Lakers game. And he goes, I'm looking at them doing their free throw shots. He's telling me this. He goes, Sam, they don't make it. They don't make their free throw shots. He goes, how is that possible? I mean, if I show up at Disney Hall, well, it wasn't back then Disney Hall wasn't built, Dorothy Chandler Pavilion. If I show up at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion and don't make my note, if I don't put my damn finger in the right place on the string, on my violin, I'm done. Like, my career's over. What's that expression? One false note. But these guys are paid millions of dollars a year, and they don't have enough muscle memory. And I don't know if it's apples to apples. I always wondered about it. But why is it? Because you'll hear this all the time. Why does the guy who's playing basketball make, and some, I don't know, $2 million a year, $3 million a year, $10 million a year, whatever it is, and the guy playing for the Philharmonic, you know, salaries aren't that great, by the way. It's, you know, I would say the average salary at the Philharmonic somewhere around 100K, maybe 120K, something like that. Not great for someone who has such exceptional talent. So I bring this up to say it's the marketplace that decides the value. How many people do you know that religiously go to the Philharmonic? I'm waiting because I... Call me. I mean, call me. Tell me you go to the Philharmonic. Okay, now I'm going to ask you a second thing. How many people go to the Staples Center to go watch the Lakers? How many people tune in to watch the Lakers? The value of that player is determined by the marketplace. That's the macro level economics of this thing. That's the bird's eye view. And then, to some extent, there is a subjective criteria based on the team owner or the, and if we're going talking about the Philharmonic, the management of the organization that determines, well, we're going to pay this person a little more because we want them there. And this is a player that we really must have because they, and for whatever criteria. And in my world, my philosophy, Sam's philosophy on life, I don't want to meddle in the type of decisions for companies making for what they want to pay different employees. I don't, because I've been there. And I've made decisions to pay different people different amounts. And I promise it's never based on, oh, that's a guy and that's a gal. Never. Hell no. But they're different people do have different values. Remember Milton Friedman, great economist, one of the true great American thinkers. And he was early to the party in refuting this whole equal pay for equal work nonsense. And his entire perspective on it is, don't pass any law like the Lilly Ledbetter Act. He's rolling around in his grave. And he'd always say the reason you don't pass wage protection is because you want to make discrimination expensive for sexist pigs. By the way, that's not exactly Milton Friedman's quote. That's my version of it. What do I mean? It's very simple. you've got a sexist pig employer. I mean, that's the reason why they're paying women less, right? I mean, they're sexist pigs. So now you enshrine in law a mandate that they pay everyone equally. And you now have reduced the cost of their discriminatory act to zero. They get no benefit for hiring a female versus a male, because the woman who wants to, you know, fight her way into a male-dominated workplace, one of the ways that she can do it is say, I'll work for less. Now, I know this is very radical, but this is economics. This is how it works. You want to make it expensive for people to discriminate. Now, of course, the way politicians want to do that is to open it up to all of us greedy trial lawyers. I include myself in that mix, to make it very expensive in punitive ways. But that is, you're already losing the fight when you do that. All right, don't go anywhere. This is really an important topic. I'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back live, as per usual, from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. So the gender gap issue, it's, and the way that government wants to fix it, right? I mean, the solution is always regulation. And it's... I would assume, look, it's, I'm going to, let's just say it's coming from a good place, right? The objective is to make things better and to end discriminatory practices. But the problem is that a lot of times when government tries to fix something, they end up making the problem much, much worse. And, you know, first you've always got to look at the premise of an issue. So the gender pay issue, for example, how many times have you heard a politician get up and talk about how women make 77 cents on the dollar? You heard that? Like, all the time. In fact, that was what Obama used when he was pitching the Lilly Ledbetter Act back in 2009. And this, you know, this was an anti-discrimination bill that passed that he put forward and Congress approved. So now, you know, there's a great takedown of this by an economist named Claudia Golden, working with Lawrence Katz. And they said, look, the 77 cents on the dollar number is a median salary. That's the middle income. It has nothing to do with average salary. And you know what else it doesn't do? That number doesn't track hours worked. That's a really big deal. How many women do you know that work fewer hours than their husbands or their male partners? For whatever reason. I know quite a few. One of them is my wife. Just throwing that out there. So it didn't track hours. The other thing, and they did, so what they did, these two researchers, they went and they tracked male and female MBAs graduating from the University of Chicago. So they took people who were basically, you know, 100% equal, if you will. They were both coming from the same place. They were both coming from a prestigious school and heading straight into the workforce as MBAs, right? Ready to go, ready to hit the ground running. You know what they found? A very small, if negligible, difference in pay for men and women. I mean, statistically, the same, paid the same. But the gap widened to 40%. This is among highly educated people, right? We're talking about, this is the creme de la creme of the MBA workforce. 10 to 15 years later, the gap widened to about 40%. Do you know where the gap got even wider? It was over 40%. Was when women married very wealthy grads, fellow grads. So if, for example, you had a male and a female that graduated from this University of Chicago, and one of the gals would marry a guy, and the guy went on to make boku bucks, the gap just got even bigger. Now, why do you think that is? Better yet, let me ask you this way. There's a lot of answers to that. Is that because of discrimination? See what I'm getting at? It's not because the woman is being discriminated against by her greedy employer. But these statistics are used, are manipulated, then sold to us, right, to get people angry. You know, we got a problem, we need to fix it. And the government comes in and fixes it. And the result of it, and I want to get into this when we get back. I want to get into the results of what that fixes. It's not good. Because companies need to be able to pay people differently. And they cannot be exposed to this government-sanctioned liability and punishment in the form of lawsuits and the like. That then threaten them from making these type of decisions that are very important for them to maintain a competitive edge. All right. I don't know if John Wolf paid more than his women competitors? I doubt it. But he deserves to be. John Wolf up next with the news.
Damn Nation's a genius, pure genius. KABC News live and local, and it's 7:30, and I'm John Wolf.
Talk Radio.
KABC.
I don't think you want to go anywhere because I'm going to defend MSNBC. So you might want to just set your recorders on right now. Sam Rogowski, CM Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com. Talking about gender equality, gender pay equality, excuse me. Do you remember that insufferable moment on MSNBC when Mika Brzezinski began to talk about wage inequality and how, well, you know how it is, right? I mean, generally speaking, women are paid less. I explained that it's hocus pocus, you know, play with statistics, but women are paid less, and they would never know that they are paid less. Unless, of course, they have a brave man in the office who is willing to show them their pay stub. We got the clip, right? Here's what Mika said about this. Yeah, have a listen.
Equal pay for equal work,
right.
And there's a law against it, except the law doesn't work because you can't prove it. You can't prove it unless you're Lilly Ledbetter and someone by mistake gives you pay stubs, or unless you're me and you have a co-host who will tell you what he makes and then back you when you go in there and fix it like you did. Otherwise,
aww,
it doesn't work for the women with no voice out there, which is most
okay,
of
cut
the
it, cut
in
it,
America
cut it. This is the rest of it's all crap. Well, it's really difficult to prove unless you're me and I have. This is before they kind of came out as having a relationship. Now, I warned you. I said I was going to defend MSNBC. Because I am. I don't know about the show today. Today, and I'm no great, you know, obviously no fan and no great watcher of Morning Joe. But the show is called Morning Joe. What part of it am I missing here? It's not Morning Joe and Mika. It's not Morning Mika. Who'd want Morning Mika? That's sounds dirty. It's Morning Joe. And by the way, do you know why? Because I know there's some snarky women out there right now. It's because he's the man. Listen. he was a congressman. He was a Republican congressman in Florida. This is a little bit of history. He was the guy that had the name. He was the guy that MSNBC recruited, and I don't remember the whole history of it, but he was the anchor, the foundation of the show. And Mika was the co-host. This kind of reminds me, and remember I was earlier in the hour, I was talking about the BBC report, you know, because BBC had to disclose all, this, all their salaries that they're paying, all their top talent, and there's all this brouhaha about it because all the men that are making more than the women, and we're now in this very predictable news cycle about this, and I'm bringing this up. There, where do... I'll find it. Oh! A couple of people that don't matter to us because we don't recognize their names, Hugh Edwards and Fiona Bruce, they're co-anchors on a news program. And here is an article from USA Today. Hugh Edwards is paid £550,000, some £200,000 more than Fiona Bruce. Comma, now listen to this, this is the best part. Comma, who does much the same job. And that right there is the biggest lie of the entire debate on wage equality. Because how do you measure that? You can't. It's impossible. And you must, I know this from my personal business experience, you must leave that to some, you've got to leave that to the, to the decision-making power of the employer. Now, I never watched their program. I can't tell you, but I can tell you why I would pay Joe Scarborough more than Mika when I was if I was a producer starting out opening that show, Morning Joe. And it has nothing to do with sexism. Zip. Zero. All right. More on this when we come back.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
What do you do when you're in a car accident? Step number one, it's so easy. I don't know. Call the police. First, you got to call. I mean, just get some help out there, obviously. But the second thing, what's number two? That's the easy part. You call Sweet James. And yesterday, I forgot the phone numbers. I'm just going to start with the phone number right now. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Do I get a gold star, Robbie? Do I? Okay, good. You call Sweet James because you want to make sure you want to make sure you're doing everything right. Remember, down the road, if you really are hurt, if there really is a problem, somebody who knows what they're doing is going to be taking apart every single thing that you did and did not do. So why not just do it right? And the only way that you know that you're doing it right is if you've got somebody helping you, telling you what to do, and advising you from the get-go. Make that person in your ear, Sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust here on the program to take care of you or your loved one in the event of an accident, injury of any type. So, one more time, the phone number, so I never forget it, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And Sweet James, he actually has a website, too. SweetJames.com. All right. Equal pay for equal work. I read Sam Rejofsky here, by the way, in case you were wondering who this odd person is on the radio. Equal pay for equal work. And I read to you this little clip here of yesterday's USA Today mentioning some... pay inequality over at the BBC, where they said one male news anchor, Hugh Edwards, is paid £200,000 more than his co-anchor, his female co-anchor. And then the article writes, who wrote this thing? Doesn't matter. Whoever wrote it wrote, who does much the same job? Now, I'm wondering, Ryan Hollins... does he do much the same job as LeBron James? I mean, that's where regulating pay and telling, mandating that a company pay a man and a woman the same amount if they're working in one particular position. That it's isn't it the same thing as then regulating racial equality for pay? Can you imagine going to the NBA? I don't want to, again, I'm out of my depth talking about sports. But I'm going to do it anyway. Can you imagine mandating that two basketball players make the same amount regardless of their race? I hope I'm not going into crazy land over here, but my understanding is that would probably be disastrous for the NBA. Have I gone out on a limb? Robbie, what do you think? Now, I mean, it's that kind of lunacy of where you try to apply a one-size-fits-all on every single enterprise, every single business, every single employee-employer relationship that there is in the entire United States. And of course, if Congress were to mandate something like that, on some level, I am sure somebody somewhere is being discriminated against based on their race. And the effort to fix it and to ameliorate it and to help that person is perhaps a good one, right? Is coming from a good place. But the result in the end could end up being disastrous. And so much of what our government does on a regular basis is just that. So I look at this equal pay for equal work. Every time I see it, I get hives. Because what about this? You remember, I like talking about radio. Field I understand marginally. You remember Dr. Laura? Oh, she was pretty popular. She's making way more money than any of her male co-hosts that worked on her station or anywhere else. I mean, she was killing it. What about Judge Judy? She makes who I don't even know. Do you even know who the other men are that do what she does? People's Court. What's that guy's name? I don't even know. That's how insignificant he is. And you know what? What if a law came along and said you got to pay them both the same? She would end up having to be paid less because they're not going to pay him what they're paying her. See how that works? It can end up screwing you, right? Just biting you right in the butt. Speaking of getting bit in the butt, can a parrot testify in court? I'm a lawyer, and I'll tell you if that can happen. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, back after this.
Say, what is this? You know what it is.
790-790-790-790. KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So, in a Truth is Stranger Than Fiction, a series of events here, a woman, Glenda Durham, was convicted of first-degree murder in a Michigan court of law of the murder of her husband, Martin Durham. Now, there was a witness to the murder. That's right. It was the couple's parrot. Now, his name is Bud, for whatever that's worth. And Bud, apparently, after the murder, went around mimicking the husband's final words, which were, don't effing shoot. You have the clip of what it sounds like? Play it.
Don't f***ing shoot!
It's terrible audio. One more time.
Don't f***ing shoot!
That's a parrot. It looks like that. It looks like it reminds me of the scene of where Macaulay Culkin, right, in Home Alone, is playing the scene on the TV. It's terrible audio, but the parrot is imitating his owner. And so the debate went on whether or not the parrot could testify. So the court said no. And I don't know where I could find where the court's reasoning was on why they denied the request. The woman was convicted anyway, so really kind of a moot issue. But you know, when you have an out of court statement, right? An out of court statement being the guy says don't shoot. He's not in court. He can't testify. It's hearsay. So that's probably what they objected to. With this is hearsay, but of course there are different exceptions to hearsay. One of them is dying declaration. But it sounds like he said that, Robbie, before he was shot. So he wasn't dying yet. I mean, I don't know how many times. Maybe he'd already been shot once. Well, at any rate, animals do, in a matter of speaking, do testify in many, many, many cases, commonly. And that's evidence from dogs, from sniffing dogs, right? You've got, what am I looking at? For scent, you know, drug detection dogs, bomb detection dogs. Their testimony is admitted. And that's because some time ago, courts made a special dispensation for that. It was decided in a special case that dogs' sense of smell is reliable and can be admitted into evidence. So it would not, this parrot would not technically be the first animal to give evidence in a court of law, but definitely ranks among the more bizarre stories. Play that one more time. What do we got? Yeah, it sounds really crazy, right? So if you, here's a pro tip from your friendly lawyer on the radio. If you're going to kill somebody and there's a parrot in the room, I don't know, kill the parrot too? Is that the takeaway? All right. Well, look, I don't know. I think that this pay issue is funny. You know, we're talking about the gender inequality, the gender pay gap. Remember, statistics can be manipulated to get whatever result you want. But I think at the end of the day, like with most things that government does, the minute they get involved and they try to make things right, they just make things worse. The cure is always worse than the disease. And by the way, all these greedy capitalists, you know, if they really wanted to save all, if they really were so stingy and didn't want to pay money to all those women that were being paid less, wouldn't we see like factories of all women workers, right? Wouldn't that be the takeaway there? I don't know. All right, back tomorrow, 7 p.m. See you then.
Talk Radio 790. KABC.